Hey, it's good to see everybody tonight. Luke chapter number 1 is where I'm going to be. So if you want to look with us, please do turn there. Luke chapter number 1. You know, I was asking this morning about the, we still don't know anything about the Watson family and that. With the death of their son, probably some autopsy stuff and some eat up and some red tape and I don't know all that, when the funeral is going to be for that family. I hope as soon as possible for them. I hope it's as soon as possible. But so I was asking about the connection, the family connection, and the lady's name that lives here, her name is Tanya, and it is Mayhall. Tanya Mayhall. And come to find out, that is the young lady, Miss Watson, Sheila Watson, the son, the mother of the son, Joshua, that was killed on the naval station. That's her that's her sister. And so when we were talking today, when I was talking to Jeffrey and Jared after church, and we're still trying to make the connection, she said, Jeffrey said, Chuck Conley, and gave her my name, and he was texting her, and he said, oh yeah, I know him. And I'm like, I'm still trying to figure out from the picture and everything else. Come to find out, I baptized her when she was 13 years old. So, I mean, it's amazing, and in a small world, small little world, but you pray for that family. You continue to pray. Of course, there were three families that lost a child, and then of course several that were wounded, and of course we lost a police officer in Huntsville over the weekend as well. So through a tragic senseless shooting on the front porch as a drug dealer supposedly is going down. So anyway, you pray, and not to mention that his dad worked for the police station, for the police department of Huntsville, and was killed earlier, like in the 70s or something. Did you hear that in the news? He was killed in a car wreck. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Amazing. Take your Bible, Luke chapter number 1. There's a lot that we could say here, but we're going to limit our commentary to just a few verses. Look at verse number 39 through 45. That skips a lot, I understand. We were talking about a journey of faith, and this is one of the great journey of faith. We're going to make some comparison. There's a couple of characters in this chapter between Mary and Zacharias, and you see their responses to and how one responds and then the other responds, and it's kind of back and forth for a minute, and we won't be very long this evening. But look at verse number 39 and verse 3, verse 45. If you'd stay and we'll read God's word together. It says, now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country. Now, we also know that this is after Mary conceives and after the announcement of Jesus' birth. And again, we'll talk more about that in the next few weeks. But it says, now Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment. There will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Let's pray together tonight. Father, again, thank you for the opportunity to open your word with these folks. We ask that you speak to us tonight. We pray for the police officer's family and in Huntsville. We pray, Father, that you would help that family be near them. We understand there's children involved. We understand that there is you know, we just a loss there. And Lord, working in that industry, in that police industry, it's a very dangerous career path. And they all know that, accept that, and are willing to do that on behalf of the citizens that they serve and protect. And so we pray for that family, pray for all those families that have been affected by this terrorist shooting in Pensacola on the Naval Station. We pray, Father, for all these families that have lost, these three families that have lost children. We pray for all the other families that have been affected, Lord, having a child wounded. And so, Father, we just pray your will be accomplished there. Help us to do the right thing as a country. Father, help us to finally to take a stand. Enough is enough. And we pray, Father, for your direction. We pray that you would bless the reading of your word tonight. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. We're going to talk about this journey of faith. And Mary is making this journey to Elizabeth to see her. And you've read this story many times before and you've heard it. But I think there's a lot of trips. There's several trips that are associated with the birth of Jesus. And, you know, one of my favorites is from when they leave Nazareth to go to Bethlehem, and it's via donkey back, and, you know, and it's a tough journey. But there's several trips that are made, trips by the angels, trips to Mary, trips to Elizabeth, to Zacharias, to Joseph. That's somebody that's very important in the story. You do realize that we spend a lot of time at the Advent season talking about Mary and talking about her willingness to be the vehicle by which the Lord comes into the world. But not a lot is said often, not enough is said about a man named Joseph that was a godly man, that was a man of character, that when the chips were down, when the testing of his faith was on trial, he came through like a shining star. He did the right thing. He responded the right way. He embraced everything that was before him. And he was just a tremendous man of God that became a surrogate father for our Lord. And not enough is said about Joseph at this time of the year. We could say much, much more. Maybe we will at some point. But there's several characters. There's several trips. There's several journeys that are made back and forth. But this particular one is that story when Mary went to see Elizabeth, and after receiving the message from the Lord, and Mary is very likely confused. Very likely she's maybe concerned. Maybe she's got some questions. There's all those things that could be said there. And now we understand she's very willing. She was willing. She made herself available. She understood the prophecy. She understood she had a few questions. But we're going to kind of make some comparison there. We didn't read all the story of Zacharias. We're going to go back and read a few verses that pertain to him. But again, I think she's probably got a little bit of confusion, went seeking someone to confide in, and that would be Elizabeth, somebody that she has some confidence in. And so she goes and she makes this journey. Look back just a few verses there in that same chapter. If you look back to verse 13, it said, this is one of the trips by the angel of the Lord to Zacharias when he says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now that was the promise that the angel of the Lord said to Zacharias concerning the birth of their son named John the Baptist. Now we understand that, and again, I'm going to make some comparison back and forth between Zacharias and Mary, and hopefully we can see some things that are common, some things that are alike, and then some things that are very different in the way that they responded. First, the challenge of faith that comes in. There's two people in the story, there's two people in the chapter, both are challenged with great faith. And Zacharias is challenged with the faith that his wife is old and he is told she's going to have a son. He's going to have a son. This is going to be his name. This is what he's going to do. He's going to be great. And we understand that. And then there's the challenge that of faith that Mary has as she makes herself available to the Lord. And so Zacharias greatly was challenged in verses 13 through 17. He knew, or at least should have known, what was involved in that. Now, understand that this is a man that attended to the temple goings on, right? I mean, this is a man that was supposed to be a spiritual man. This is a man that is supposed to be a man of God, so to speak. And so he should have known, or at least he should have acted more like he knew what was going on there when the angel of the Lord appeared to him. But he doesn't respond maybe in the right way. So there's this challenge of faith. It involved great difficulty for all of them. Look, it says in verse 18, it says, Zechariah said to the angel, "How is this to be? Or how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." And he's give up. You know, he's like, "I'm old, my wife is old." He didn't say that in front of his wife, I assure you of that. Amen? He did not say, "Elizabeth's just too old to have children." He didn't say that, but he said it to the Lord, the angel of the Lord. And he said, "Look, I'm old, my wife's old. How in the world is this going to be?" He should have known. Amen? He should have known, or at least he should have acted like he knew better than the way he responded to the challenge of his faith than he did. So not only you see that, but Mary was greatly challenged as well. Look at verses 28. We didn't read all this, but I want to read it now. It says, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the Lord, to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her age, in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." So you see the difference as you make comparison. Zechariah said, "This is an impossibility. I'm old. My wife is old. She's old and barren." Again, he's not speaking in front of her. He's speaking to the angel of the Lord. But he says, "I'm old. She's barren. We're without a son. And this is an impossibility." And Mary has just been told that she's going to conceive, even though she's a virgin, and that she is going to carry, be the vehicle by which the very Son of God has come in the world. And how it's going to happen, the Holy Spirit of God is going to overshadow her. And I mean, who has a greater challenge of faith in the story, Zacharias or Mary? Mary. I mean, Zacharias has just been told he's going to have a son. His name's going to be John. He's going to be a wild man out there, but he's going to be great. There's not going to be anybody like him. He's going to turn the heart of the people back to God, and he's going to do such and such and such. But Mary's just been told that of all the little Jewish girls in the world at that time that knew the prophecy, that she's going to be the vehicle by which the Son of God is coming into the world. And what a great challenge of faith for her. And she responds appropriately. "Well, here I am, Lord. I'm your maidservant. Do whatever you need to do because I'm willing to serve." You know, I read a quote, and I'm going to start making it part of my vernacular. I read it this week, and it talks about how that saved people serve people and how found people find people. That's good stuff right there. Saved people serve people and found people find people. Amen? And I think that's true. And I think it ought to be more true of the church today that we respond in great. You know, God's challenged you and I, left us with a challenge to be the vehicle by which men, women, boys, and girls come to faith in Jesus Christ in this world, to serve Him, to be His hands and feet. And if we're saved, we should serve people. And if we're found, once was lost and now I'm found, I ought to find somebody. Amen? This person, Mary, responds with great faith to the challenge that's before her. And she's given much detail. Zacharias is not given as many details. You're going to have a son, you're going to call him John, and this is what he's going to do. Yes, that's a challenge to them in their age. Maybe biologically, it was impossible for them. But the angel just said, with God, nothing is going to be impossible in this. And Zacharias should have known. He should have known and responded differently. Mary is going to respond very appropriately, given much detail. Maybe she didn't understand all that. That's why she's visiting Elizabeth. She's looking for a little bit of advice. She's looking for a little bit of encouragement. She's looking for somebody that can kind of help her down the road. And she doesn't even get to tell Elizabeth when she walks in and she says, "Hello," the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy. She knew. Immediately, Elizabeth knew that Mary was going to be the chosen one to bring the Son of God into the world. She didn't even get to tell her, "Listen, I've got good news," or "I got challenging news. I need some help." She didn't have a chance to do all that because God was ahead of her. Much detail. Maybe she didn't understand all that. And of course, with Mary and with Zacharias, both situations involved human limitations or human impossibilities. Zacharias and his wife are old, and maybe biologically they cannot procreate and have a son. Mary is saying, "This is an impossibility. I'm a virgin. There is no way this can happen. How is this thing going to be?" She didn't say, though, "This is impossible." She said, "Just how are you going to accomplish this? How are you going to do that?" That's great faith with the way she responds to a great challenge of their faith. Now notice the contrasting of their faith as well. Both ask questions. Look at verse 18 again. We read it, but I'm going to go back. Zechariah said, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." This is, for us, this is impossible. And then look at Mary's question again in verse number 34. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I do not know a man?" She didn't say that this is an impossibility. She said, "This is just in my human thinking, in my human understanding of the way that people have children and bring children into this world, how can this be?" She didn't say, "That's the craziest thing I've ever heard." She didn't say, "The angel, you've got the wrong girl. You need to go down the road. I know a girl down the street that really wants to be." She didn't say any of those things. She just simply said, "How are you going to accomplish this? How is this going to be? How is this going to come to pass?" So the contrast of their faith, both ask questions, both have reactions to, you know, to the questions, to the answers differently. And again, the differences are in the questions, because Zechariah says, "How can a thing like this be?" And Mary said, "How are you going to do this?" And so the contrast in their faith, it's a great contrast. Again, Zacharias is an older man with this more wise that serves the Lord in the temple that should have known better. Amen. Mary's just some teenage Jewish girl that's just been told, "I know you're a virgin, but you're about to have a child. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to overshadow you, and you're going to be the vehicle by which the Lord God of Almighty is coming into this world. God has chosen you and the sanctuary of your womb to be the vehicle by which Jesus comes into the world." And she responds in great faith. And Zacharias responds in a lot of disbelief. Now, and we know it costs him, right? It does cost him something, right, for his unbelief. Yeah, and we may not cover that tonight. But the significant difference is Zacharias was old, should have known better. Zacharias faced a less possible scenario, less possible promise, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, how many times, I mean, we've got friends that, you know, that they've been barren for a while. They go through the whole in vitro process, and then they finally have a baby. And then the next thing you know, they have twins right after that or something like that. Or, you know, I remember sitting at lunch one day that we had a young couple in our church in Gadsden, and his wife was out of town on a women's trip with a bunch of women, and his name's Chris, and we're sitting there eating, and he gets this phone call, and he answers the phone, and he gets a little nervous, and he says, what am I supposed to do? He said, that's the adoption agency calling. He said, they are ready for me to come pick up William right now. I said, don't do anything until your wife gets home. I was trying to give him a little piece of advice. I said, if you go get that baby without that woman, you may never live that down. Amen? And then he's like, well, which car seat should I take? I've got three. I don't know what to, you know, they're older and they've been trying to adopt for quite some time. Never forget the conversation. Never forget the phone call. Sitting at lunch, Mexican restaurant in Gadsden, Alabama. And he gets that phone call. And William now is how old? We just saw pictures. He's in kindergarten, 5 years old. It's amazing. And it's amazing that he even looks a lot like Chris. It's amazing how God works that out. And beautiful family. But the contrast of faith, Zechariah's faced, I think, for me, a less impossible promise or a less impossible scenario. And Zechariah was a spiritual leader. Again, he's a spiritual leader in the temple. And again, I think he should have responded differently. Now, this is part of the plan, but Mary really responds in a much more appropriate way, much greater faith, much greater surrender to the Lord's, leading and the Lord's prompting in her life. And notice then the certainty of faith. There's these three things that are mentioned in this passage for me. And then certainty of their faith. It says, look at verse number 45. Look at verse 45 again. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So the certainty of faith, the promises will come to pass. So Elizabeth is a person that God is using in the story that he's validating Mary's faith. She says, because again, she hasn't questioned to the point of saying, this is crazy. This cannot happen. She simply said, how are you going to bring this to pass? How are you going to accomplish this? And when she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, not some just random something, you know, like some fortune teller reader or something like that, but filled with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and knowledge from on high, said, this is going to come to pass. And that's exactly what Mary was looking for, giving her some certainty of the faith that she's demonstrated that it will come to pass. And again, she says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be, that phrasing is speaking as if it's already happened. It's kind of like this morning in Isaiah 9 when it says, Isaiah prophesied 700 years before the birth of our Lord, and he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Past tense, as if it had already happened. 700 years before it happened, Isaiah's prophesying in a prophetic, positive, absolute certainty way that this is going to come to pass. Same scenario here. Elizabeth said, this will be. You've believed, God said, the angel of the Lord has said, you have believed, and the fulfillment of those things which were told you from the Lord will be accomplished in you. The certainty of this faith, the absolute certainty. And I just think the statement here is tremendous, tremendous. Exactly what Mary's looking for. She's not looking for a way to get out. She's not looking for someone else to take her place. She's not looking for, you know, maybe you just had some bad food last night and it was a bad dream. She's not looking for any of that. And Elizabeth is validating her faith response to the angel of the Lord when she says, this is going to come to pass. The fulfillment of these things are already accomplished in you because of your faith. And it's tremendous the way that she responds to that. That statement here is always true. Person, you know, people have options. They do. They have options of belief or unbelief, and can choose to be Zacharias or Mary. You know, you can choose to be Zacharias or Mary. You can be wishy-washy in your response to the Lord as He speaks to you about certain things, or you can just say, "Lord, here I am. I'm your servant. I'm willing to serve you. I'm willing to do what you want me to do, go where you want me to be what you want me to be, all for your glory." Because remember, save people, serve people, and found people, find people. Amen? And that we should respond like that as well. Now what happened to Zacharias because of his unbelief? That's right. Couldn't talk. Till when? That's right. How far along was she? 6 months. So he didn't get to say a word for how many months? At least 3. That's probably some peaceful time for Elizabeth. Amen? I don't know that. I'm sorry. I took that liberty. I don't know that for sure. You know how men are sometimes. You know, they're... Especially in my house, I talk too much. So Kelly probably wouldn't mind 3 months of silence. I don't know. She might like it. But not to say that people go through life dumb. You know, we're not talking about dumb intellect. We're talking about dumb, right? People don't go through life dumb like Zacharias every time they don't respond appropriately to what God says by having the right faith. But people certainly go through life dumb, amen, without responding to God appropriately with faith. It may not result itself in a lack of speech or something else, but it shows up in so many different ways. They go through life dumb with unbelief. Now, I know the scripture says, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." And there's many times I pray that for myself. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief in this, Lord, and I still struggle just like you do, as anybody else does. Well, I believe. Help my unbelief in this. Help me, enlarge this in me. Help me to respond to you appropriately the way you want me to, the way that you've designed us to. But sometimes people go through life dumb with unbelief for just the apparent reason of not responding to God appropriately when He speaks. Many go through, and others face life like Mary. And that's the best choice in the story. When you compare the two, that's the best choice. Because, she went perplexed and she came home rejoicing. Amen? She goes with lots of questions and lots of concerns or maybe even some, maybe even a little bit of disbelief on a certain level, but she comes home rejoicing. Surrendered totally. That yet beautiful passage after, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord," and goes on. And what a beautiful response as Elizabeth speaks to her. "My spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." She's not being arrogant there. She's not setting herself up as a person in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Mary. She's not doing any of those things. She's just responding to God in certain faith, believing that what He said is going to come to pass. Amen? Again, maybe we don't spend enough time at the Advent season talking about Mary and Joseph. Again, Joseph is a godly man that has godly characteristics on display for everybody, how he responds to the news. You understand, according to the law, he could have just had her stoned to death publicly. But he doesn't do any of those things. He responds appropriately in every... And chances are, Joseph is much older than Mary, by the way. These are not two children. Mary's a child. Joseph is a man that's a much older man, and It's displayed in his life by his obedience and his patience and the way he deals with his wife-to-be in the future. It's a beautiful thing when you start diving into who Joseph really is and how he responds and how he too has a great testing of his faith. But he comes out shining like a new penny. I mean, it's really cool the way he comes through all that. But another story. So she went perplexed, came home rejoicing. She went for comfort, but she comes home with this absolute assurance that what God has said will come to pass. And again, that response of hers, as we see in verse number 46 through 55, that Lord, her that Latin translation of that of her her response to the Lord, it's just an amazing thing. She bears her heart, and she her mind is saturated with God's word, and it's amazing how she responds to what has been told her, and it's a beautiful story there. So the difference is simple. It's a simple matter of faith. Again, we wanted to contrast these two individuals, these two characters in the story, and I think it just comes all the way down to a simple matter of faith. What God promises, he can do, right? Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. What he's promised will come to pass. And those promises of God's word still are appropriate for you and I today. Amen? In this 21st century, all these years removed now from Christ's birth and his life and everything else, those promises of God are absolutely sure and come to pass. And we just believe those by faith, and it's a simple matter of faith. So what he promises, he can do. And what he said, he will do. Amen? I'm counting on that. I've staked my whole life on what God's word to be absolute truth. I believe that I've spent my whole career believing this book, to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And one day when this world is on fire, he's not going to flood it again. He's going to burn it up. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be a part of that tribulation period. I'm going to be gone. I'm coming back with him one day, and I'm going to help establish that kingdom. And I'm going to have, like you will have, certain responsibilities during that millennial kingdom. See, people still be born, give birth, and go to work every day. And you and I will have jobs between this earth and the kingdom, back and forth. It's just going to be an amazing thing. I believe that by faith. And what he's promised, he said he will do and he can do. Amen. Again, that's what the Christmas season is really all about. And then lastly, you know, the incredible challenge of Christmas is that God has promised. He has promised that what he has promised will come to pass. And we're thankful that the Son of God was born into this world. Difficult, you know, when I think about those words like difficult and impossible that I've talked a lot about, I just don't think those are part of God's vocabulary. I don't think it's in his thinking, difficult and impossible. A lot of times you and I are the ones that respond like that because we don't respond in enough faith. And so things are difficult and impossible. And again, nothing's impossible for our God. I think those are unknown words to him and in his vernacular. We do have the choice of Zacharias or Mary as our pattern. And I think Mary is the best choice. Amen? Don't go through life dumb with unbelief. Go through life believing that what God has said, he can bring to pass. Amen? That's a beautiful story. And what is the impossible he has promised you in his word? I don't know what that is for you personally, but whatever it is, he will bring that to pass as well. Amen. We just respond in faith. And will you be Zacharias or will you be Mary? You know, this Advent season, it's about a journey of faith. I mean, my goodness gracious, when we think about how that the angels were in the fields by night, they saw a great light, they are told this great story. For behold, born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior. Amen. He didn't come to be anything else but be Savior of mankind. And what a beautiful, beautiful story. Let's pray. It's good to see you tonight. Again, I know that's rather brief, but it's good to have you here as we look at the comparison between Zacharias and Mary. I hope I can respond like Mary, in faith with certainty and not with dumb unbelief. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to open your word for a few minutes. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these folks and their, Lord, their faithfulness to you. We pray, Father, that you'd help us, excuse me, as you'd help us to respond to you like Mary did. Lord, many details, much information, overwhelming. I can only imagine. Lord, she doesn't have anybody to share this with at this moment when the angel of the Lord shows up. There's no counsel. There's no one. This teenage Jewish girl in the region was highly favored by God, chosen to be the vehicle by which the Messiah, Emmanuel, would come into this world. And Lord, she responds appropriately. Lord, Elizabeth confirms and validates her faith. And Lord, we have the beautiful response of Mary as she pours out her heart. And Lord, her mind is saturated with you. Lord, as she sings that idea that she's just thankful to be chosen, Lord, and thankful for what you're doing. And she responds appropriately. Lord, for Zechariah, it cost him a little something. Of course, we know that he responds appropriately from here on. But Father, we just ask you to help us in this Christmas season. Lord, there's a lot that we still stand in need of. Lord, there's family members that are lost and undone that we know, and people that we work with. And sometimes, Lord, we've probably even given up on some of them. We think, my goodness, they're just too far gone. They've seen too much, done too much, participated in too much. But Father, again, nothing's impossible for you. You save to the uttermost. Lord, you change lives. Lord, and this is a great time of the year to tell somebody about the love and the grace, how that you are the fulfillment of God's grace at this Advent time. Bless tonight. Have your way in our lives. Help us to serve you in a way that's pleasing and honoring to you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And amen. I hope you have a good week. Amen.